So Luke chapter 10. Now, I want to say this morning, I'm going to preach this message, a little bit different message than I'd preach normally. And to be honest with you, probably, there's probably not one out of 100 here that just, I may be wrong, but historically, but one out of 100 really, it just won't be there for something. I don't know. But God told me to preach this. And if it's one out of this whole building that needs this, or that God's going to use it in their life, then I'm going to preach it. I will say this, that even though the average Christian is not very interested in the message I'm going to preach today, they ought to be. They ought to be. And so I'd encourage you today to hear me through. I pray that you'll not shut me off early in the message, but you'll say, really latch in and just let God speak to you and let God do something in your life. Because, man, I just think this is so important, especially in the time. We're living in apostate time. Amen. I mean, we're living in a mess. It's a pitiful mess. I mean, the world, I expect the world to be in a mess, but the church is in such a mess. But anyway, I'm thankful that God lets us be here. By the way, I was going to say this. I don't very seldom ever do this, but I'm telling you, if you couldn't be here this past Wednesday night and weren't here, very seldom would I ever tell you to get a message, but you better get that one. You better get that message Wednesday night. God gave that to me Wednesday afternoon, and I don't know that He's ever gave me a better message, as far as I'm concerned, for practical Christian living than Wednesday night. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. You're just going to have to get it. But I'm telling you, I would recommend it as your pastor. I would recommend that every soul under my charge get that message and listen to it. It'll help your life, I promise you. Not because I preached it, but because it's from the Bible. Amen. All right, chapter 10, verse number 27, the Bible said, and he answering, let's start at verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer, what you got here is a smart aleck lawyer, attorney here, trying to trick the Lord Jesus Christ. This makes it real interesting, amen. I really get a kick out of Jesus handling all these different types that come to him. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Now, Jesus is not telling him that keeping the law will save you, but he knows where this rascal, he's a lawyer. Jesus is taking him down the road, going to set him up. And he does. Verse number 27, he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now this is the lawyer answer now. And the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Jesus said another passage of scripture in the New Testament, Gospels. He told him, he said one day, he said, you none of you keep the law. He told the Pharisees, he told the people that were supposed to be the ones that kept it the best. He said, you do not keep the law. And this guy quoted the first and the second greatest commandment, and Jesus said, you do that, you live. Well, he couldn't do it, see, because if he could do that, if he could love the glory of God with all his heart, love his neighbor as himself, the man wouldn't be a sinner. But he couldn't do it. Jesus said, well, go out and try it. Amen. Go out and try what you just said. But, verse number 29, he willing to justify himself. You ought to underline that. That old flesh is really willing to justify ourselves. And I got two or three messages on my mind, so you really pray hard that I don't get them all intertwined, okay? That I stay straight, all right? And he wouldn't justify himself, said unto Jesus, here's this smart aleck question he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In other words, he had already figured out justifying himself, see, that there's some people I don't have to be a neighbor to, he was working his way through that lawish answer he gave, see? He's getting himself some loopholes to justify his conduct and his action, and his rejection, by the way, of Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 30, Jesus answering said, I want to tell you one, here's a masterpiece. Here is a masterpiece. I mean, the Bible is a masterpiece, but if you ever want to get a masterpiece story, right here it is. This is, you talk about concision, conciseness, and power, and truth, and energy, and wisdom in this passage. It just, it blows my mind. I've often said I don't need meth and pot to blow my mind. I just read my Bible and it gets me. Jesus answering said, and here's one of the most famous passages of scripture in the Bible. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now I want you to underline some things as we go. Verse number 30, I want you to underline a certain man. I want you to underline went down. I want you to underline from Jerusalem. And I want you to underline from Jericho. Now I want you to underline separate because they all have significance. And fell, underline fell. and among thieves, underline thieves, and then which stripped him, underline strip, and of his raiment, wounded him, underline wounded, and departed, underline that, leaving him, underline leaving, half dead. You ought to underline all that. That's why I mean there's so much truth and so much doctrine embedded into this story, it's just blow your socks off. Amen. Verse number 31, and by chance there came a certain priest, underline priest, that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And verse number 32, and likewise a Levite, underline Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. You ought to underline that little phrase, passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, boy, you ought to underline that one, that's Jesus, that's going to be the Lord. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. You ought to underline that, came where he was. And when he saw him, one line is he had compassion on him. Now here's the difference, verse number 34, went to him, underline that little phrase, went to him. Look at this here, bound up his wounds and pouring in oil. Now I'm going to preach this morning eventually on the subject of pouring in oil. I'm going to preach on pouring in oil, but let's look at some other things. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. I'm glad he just didn't pour in war. Oil. He poured wine into this man. And then so verse number, and he set him on his own beast, underline that, brought him to an inn, underline the word inn, and took care of him, underline took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took up 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, you ought to underline, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go thou and do likewise. Lord, help us to preach today. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would come upon this meeting today in a special way. I'm asking you, God, right now to wash and cleanse my heart, mind, soul, everything about me in such a way that I could bear the Word of God in a clean vessel today. I pray, Lord, that my life would not be a hindrance to the work of the Holy Spirit right now. I pray not my personality, not my countenance, not anything, Lord, would be a hindrance to the Holy Ghost. I ask you, dear God, today that you would arrest this place today. And, Lord, do what needs to be done so bad. God, I pray today, help us to see this great need of having the oil poured into our lives. And, dear Lord Jesus, help us not just to kind of toss this thing around, but to lay it to our hearts. And I pray that you'll be glorified and honored. Save the lost that are here today, God. I pray save them. I pray, God, today those that are saved, I pray, God, they'll take a trip to Jericho. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, the primary application or the basic interpretation of this passage of Scripture is right there on the surface. It's a story about how to be a good neighbor. But it has a lot deeper and meaning that, a lot deeper applications. When I first, the first year I was preaching, in fact, the first several months that I was preaching, I preached this down at the old country church where I started that down here south of town. And I remember getting a hold of this passage of Scripture, and God gave me a message out of it. Man, I tell you what, I like did 3 backflips, and I preached on the primary application of salvation in this message. And I remember the Sunday night that I preached it. So I preached this a long time ago. I've been preaching 29 years, and this week, God opened my soul to see something I'd never seen in this passage of Scripture. Now, what I preached 29 years ago was the primary application of the typology of this story is the story of salvation. Now, the Bible said there in that first passage of Scripture, verse number 30, a certain man. Did you know everybody's a certain man? It ain't nobody just a part of a mob or part of a human glob. Everybody's a certain man. And God is interested in the individual. We're going to stand before God individually as certain people. In other words, that's an individual thing. And the Bible said that this certain man went down to Jericho. Now, that word down in that past Scripture is a picture of this certain man who is lost, going down the road to hell, going down in sin. This is a picture, the first layer, is a picture of the lost man headed to hell and how God saves him and takes care of him in this passage of Scripture. So you get a certain man, he's going down to hell, he's going on the downward road of sin, and he's headed toward a city called Jericho. Now, if you know much about Jericho, Jericho was a cursed city in the Old Testament, so that tells us that he's going down in the curse that's upon mankind, the depravity, the curse of sin, the fall of man. And it says he fell. And of course, we go back to Genesis and Adam and Eve fell, what we call doctrinally and theologically the fall of man. And then it says that it talks about, that's speaking of our depravity, our sinfulness. And then it says they fell among thieves. Well, the Bible said that Satan is a thief and a liar and a murderer. And whenever a man's lost, he falls among the devil. And the devil's going to rob him of everything in the flesh and the world. It said thieves, plural. So you got the devil and the flesh and the world robbing this man that's lost on the road to hell, robbing him of his family, robbing him of his home, robbing him of his marriages, robbing him of everything that's precious and right in his life. And he's being robbed by the flesh, the world, and the devil. Then it says he stripped him. And the devil will strip you of everything that's worthwhile to you. Amen. I mean, he'll clean your clock. Amen. And then not only strip, I'm running through this real quick, but the stripping also has more about it. It shows us the fact that we are naked spiritually before God, that we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And man, I mean, it's just, isn't this full of doctrine? Y'all catching on? Y'all into this? This thing packed full, chunk full of doctrine concerning salvation and how God deals with a lost man. Then it said he wounded him. And leaving him half dead, you may be alive spiritually, physically, but dead spiritually to God. And so it's a picture of that. And but not only that, you have the priest coming by. Well, the priest is a picture of the law. And the law can't do nothing but tell you you're dying. Remember old Brother Lester Roloff preached that message, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Said they took it. He went in to see Dr. Law, and Dr. Law said, oh my goodness, you're in bad shape. Oh my land, oh goodness, look at that. You're in bad shape. You're going to die. And he said, well, Doc, what can we do about it? I said, I'm Dr. Law. I can't do nothing but diagnose you. That's all law can do is tell you you're lost. And so he sent him on down the hallway, Dr. Grace, and Dr. Grace fixed him up. Amen. But the priest comes by. He just looked at him, went on by the other side. Here comes the Levite by. That's ceremony. That's religion. And religion can't do nothing for you. It'll pass by on the other side. And so they can't help and they don't care either. But the Samaritan came, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to where he was, and that's what happens in salvation. He comes to where you are individually as a certain person. And the Bible said that he came to seek and to save the lost. And the Bible said he saw him. He had compassion on him. The Bible said that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has a mercy, and he had compassion. He went to him, amen. I'm glad the good night that God came to me, amen. I'm glad that God came to me with compassion, even though I was wounded and stripped and beaten by the devil and headed on a road to hell. God came to me with compassion, and he did something. Well, he poured in his oil on me that night, amen. He saved me and indwelt me with the power of the Holy Spirit and created in me a new creature in Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit of God. And he did something else. He poured in wine. And that's the joy and gladness of my heart. Happy in the Lord. Amen. And then he took me down to the inn. He took me to the church. Amen. Put me on his own beast. He, you know what? I wasn't carrying myself. He's carrying me. Amen. And he's keeping me. And he took care of him, the Bible said. And you know what? For 29 years, the Lord Jesus Christ had been taking care of me. Boy, I like this. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you talk about a picture of Jesus and his redemptive work. This is it right here. And then it teaches that he paid all the cost. He paid it all. Then it says he's coming back again. Amen. Said, oh, I return, so I'll come back again. And it just goes on and on and on. And I hope you like that. And if I wasn't long-winded, I'd stop and we'd go home. But that ain't what I'm preaching on. Amen. I'll tell you, that'll preach so. Amen. I mean, that'll preach the socks off a mule, amen. I mean, to tell you what, that'll preach the horns off of a longhorn steer. I mean, that's good. That's an unbelievable, concise, beautiful, impacted picture of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus. Hey, there ain't no book in the world like this book, amen. I mean, the rest of it's trash and junk compared to that. But God showed me something this week by his mercy, a second deal. And I tell you what, I fell on my face. I literally fell on my face and I wept because God showed me what he'd done to me. And I saw that the story of the Good Samaritan is not just a picture of how God comes to a lost man and saves him and keeps him and takes care of him, but it's a picture of a saved man seeking more than just not going to hell. Boy, I want you to listen this morning. You know something I believe about you in this church? See, a lot of folks comes in and out of this church, don't they? Yeah. Most people, in all honesty, I believe they come looking for God. A lot of saved people come in here looking for God. Be honest, we don't get lots of lost people in here. I guess they figure they know. If they get, see, it seems like they get saved, they'll come come here. But you know something, in my heart, I sat this morning, I listened to Sunday school class, and I listened to the men read, I listened to men comment, look around, just kind of, as a pastor, looking over the congregation. And in my heart, I figure you're a lot like me. You're glad you're saved. You're awful glad you're saved. If that's all God ever did for you, it'd be enough. Amen. But boy, oh boy, don't sometimes you just want more of God? Don't you just want more of God? Don't you just, I like salvation messages. Bless God, we got to have them. Amen. We can't never do nothing else. Got to get saved. But, boy, I like my soul fed. And I tell you what, God's been doing a work in me the last few months. It's just like saying, Reggie, I want you to get closer to me. Reggie, I want you to get closer to me. But over the years, God did this. But God showed me that this is a picture of a saved believer seeking the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The average Christian is not at all interested in being filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? And a lot of Christians innocently have been messed up by some Pentecostal beliefs. And they kind of got away from it because, they something in their soul senses, this ain't right. There's something off balance here, something out of whack here. But yet they want God, so they're kind of hung up. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil's been real good at building up a false imitation of the true biblical doctrine of being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Now, this is a picture of a believer seeking the fullness of the Spirit. I want you to keep in mind this phrase. When the Lord Jesus came to this man, He poured oil into him and He poured wine into him. Now, this is a picture of a man and a saved person, a woman, a child, a young person. Listen to me, young people. Hungering for God. A person that's not just satisfied with, I'm not going to hell now. Let me tell you something. I know that it's wonderful not to be going to hell. It's wonderful to be saved. But you know something? There's far more to Christianity than not just going to hell. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I came to give you life more abundantly. And this is the pouring in of the oil. And I'm going to tell you something I'm convinced of. If there's anything this nation needs, it needs some preachers that's had the oil poured in them. I mean, they've had the oil poured in them. I tell you, we need some churches that's had the oil poured in the church. And some families and some daddies and some mamas that don't just have convictions. Hey, you can have convictions, but be without the fullness of the Spirit. And one of the worst things in the world you'll ever come in contact with is people that have convictions without the fullness of the Spirit. Bunch of hard head, cut your head off, crucify you like they did Jesus. The Pharisees had convictions. They did not have the fullness of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you this morning, 85% of what I preach from this pulpit that you're having trouble with would be fixed immediately the second you let the God the Father pour the Holy Ghost into your soul. 90% of our preacher, Brother Adams and Brother Messick, wouldn't even be necessary if we had the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives. You listen to me. Now watch this very carefully. I'm talking about a man that is saved deciding that he wants God. He wants more than just being saved. He wants the fullness of the Spirit in his life. In the Old Testament, I want to get something clear. Watch this. In the Old Testament, they poured the Holy Ghost on them. They poured the oil on them. But in the New Testament, they poured the Holy Ghost in them. God poured the Holy Ghost in them. In the Old Testament, they would pour it on them. In the Old Testament doctrine, the Holy Ghost did not indwell their bodies. The Holy Ghost came upon them. David was anointed with oil. The oil poured on him. But in the New Testament, in the church, God says, I will pour the Holy Ghost in you. Yes. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You better get that straight. The Spirit was on them, but here for us, the Spirit is in us. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, as children of God, as saved people, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. God command, and not to be filled with the Spirit of God is direct disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to give you some typology. We talked about all that typology a while ago. I want to give you the typology of it with the consideration of looking at a man who's looking for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Number one, the Bible said that he came from Jerusalem. He came from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is called the City of Peace. Now listen to me good. This man came out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the City of Peace. You know what that's a type of? It's a type of church. It's a type of fellowship of believers. You're saved. You're in the City of Peace. You've made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not correct? So what he's saying is this man, a saved person, the second layer of typology, comes out of Jerusalem, a city of peace. He is a saved man, but he's wanting more from God. He wants the touch of God, the power of God in his family, on his life, on his business, on his ministry, everything about him, in his personal life. He wants the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God in him. You see, the biggest trouble we're having, dear friend, is we are trying to live the Christian life in the power and energy of the flesh and in the ritualism of religion rather than having the fullness and power of the Holy Ghost. Brother, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's one thing to be paddling the boat upstream. It's another to have a 52-horsepower motor taking you up. Amen. I'm talking about when the fullness of the Holy Ghost comes, it is not a chore. It's not a bother. It's a joy to obey the Lord. Now, I'm saying this to you this morning, that Jerusalem was a city of peace. He had peace with God. That's where most people are content to dwell. They just want to be in Jerusalem. I'm saved, got peace with God, going to heaven. That's where I'm going to stay. But occasionally, there's some saved saint of God that wants more than just salvation and wants more than just convictions. He wants the anointing. He wants the power. And he's like Jacob of old. He's willing to wrestle God all night to get it. He wants God's power. He wants God's unction. Now, he's not content with a religious bottle of flesh improvement. Let me tell you what's being served across our pulpits these days. We're one of them traveling wagon shows, and we open up the doors and bring out our LEX, our mixtures of flesh improvement. Oh, this week I've got this flesh improvement. It's just the best stuff you've ever seen. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better parent. You just take this good old flesh improvement. I tell you, it's got this, got the brand of religion on it. You take 3 doses of this each day. I tell you, you'll be a better person. That's what we're doing with people. Very few people are preaching about being filled with the Holy Ghost these days. Filled with the Spirit of God. They want flesh improvement cologne. They want something they can sprinkle on, make them smell good, and make them attractive to other people and not repulsive. But yet God said that Christian people are a savor of life unto them that are saved and death unto them that are lost. God has never been in or ever will be in the flesh improvement business. God is in the flesh crucifying business. Now the Bible said it was a certain man. Certain men came from Jerusalem headed toward Jericho. I'm going to tell you this again. There are very few people. How many people you reckon were in Jerusalem populated at that time? And yet here's one man who took off on a journey to find more of God. Listen to me. The Bible said he went down. Did you know most people think if you're going to get closer to God, you got to go up? But the way up is down with God. Always the way up. He said he went down to Jericho. Now the Bible teaches us, if you want to go up spiritually, if you want oil, listen to me, listen, here it is. If you want the oil of God's Spirit poured into your life, you must go down. You say, what are you talking about? You got to go down with your pride. You got to go down with your way. You've got to go down with your wisdom. You've got to go down with your will. You've got to go down with your flesh. Yourself has to go down. God said, if you're going to come up to me and you're going to get closer to me and you're going to have the power of God upon you, you have got to start not up, but you've got to start down. Humility. God is nigh to them of a broken heart. God is near those humble before the Lord. We must be broken before the Lord. David, even if you've read Psalms 51 this week, the Lord is near them of a broken and a contrite spirit, the Bible said. The way to God is down with our pride, down with ourselves, down with our religion, down with our thinking we're somebody, down with thinking how good we are, down with thinking how much Bible we know, down with how good a parent we think we are, down with how good a husband we are. We got to get down with God. We got to get humble and fall before the face of God. This man went down. Now, I want to tell you something. You can listen to me good. The Bible said, the Holy Ghost very specific here. It said he went from Jerusalem. From Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem was the city of peace. Jerusalem represents where all the saved people are. Jerusalem represents where all the Christians are gathered together at. Now, you listen to me real good, because here's the secret. There's a Bible doctrine that's not even mentioned to, alluded to today. I preached at this church several years ago when the pulpit was up here, last time I preached it here. But I've never heard this message preached outward. And it's the doctrine of outside the camp. I'm sure it's been preached. I'm sure I just wasn't there. But you never hear it in the circles of Christianity. In the Old Testament, when God was telling Moses how to set up that tabernacle and teaching him about all the burnt offerings and so forth, It talked the bodies of those beasts were taken outside the camp and burned. When you get in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, there's a very important doctrine for anybody that wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's teaching you this, that if you want to be filled with the power of God and you want to be with Jesus in a special way, that you've got to be willing to come outside the gates of the camp unto Jesus. Where was Jesus Christ crucified? He was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem. And the Bible said, let us go unto the Lord Jesus Christ outside the camp. Now, what am I talking about here? If you want the power of God, you have got to quit worrying about what other Christians think about you and what they're going to think about you when you say out to God, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, when you really start living for God, when you're not ashamed of Jesus anymore, when you're not afraid of what people think anymore. You have to be willing to come out beside, even in Liberty Faith Church, you must be willing to come outside the camp of the socially, religiously accepted brethren.
Amen.
Listen to me. There's no other way. Christ does not usually dwell in religious groups with any power. I'm not saying he didn't dwell. I'm talking about these people are saved. I'm talking about if you want the fullness of God, you've got to be willing to leave the crowd. You boys, listen to this preacher. You'll never be filled with the power of God. You'll never know what it is to have the unction of the Holy Ghost upon you as long as you're afraid of what the other boys in this church think about you. Until the day you come outside and you say, I don't care if they like me or don't like me. I love them, but I don't have to have them. But I've got to have Jesus. I've got to have the power of God. They don't teach this in Bible colleges no more than they teach how to pray. There's two things you won't find in Bible colleges. How to pray and the other is how to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because they want you totally dependent upon them and strictly inside their camp. And woe be to the man who steps outside the gate and says, I'm going out to be with Jesus. Not only that, he went from Jerusalem outside the camp, but he went down to Jericho. Now he said, wait a minute, Reggie, you just said that Jericho was a cursed city. That's exactly right in the Old Testament. But that is in the typology of a man being saved here. But what about the typology of a man who's saved seeking the power and the fullness of the Spirit of God in his life? Did you know that Jericho is called the city of fragrant winds? The city of palm trees? It was a desired place because there was a fragrance that came off the palm trees down that valley. I've been to Jericho. There was a fragrance. I never saw so much fruit in my life as I saw in the city of Jericho, Marcus. I'm honest with you. Never saw grapefruit so big, oranges so big, bananas so big as I saw in the marketplaces of the city of Jericho, even in this generation. But God teaches us that the city of Jericho was a city of fragrance and the wind of fragrance. In other words, you know what? What wind? The Holy Ghost, the fragrance of God. Fruitfulness. God is saying this man left Jerusalem, he left the crowd, he left all his buddies, he's more concerned about being with God than he was being with the crowd. He said, I want to go to the place where the wind of God is upon me. I want to be upon a place where the fragrance of God is upon me. I'm looking for the anointing power of God to be upon me. I'm looking for that special touch from God. I'm going down to Jericho. The Savior of God, the wind of God, the breath of God. Did you know that Jericho is the first city they entered when they came into Canaan land? Did you know that Jericho is a semblance of victory? How God said, go right in Jericho's big walled city. God said, oh, don't try to sneak in around here. He said, you go straight in on it. Jericho is a place of victory. What is it talking about here? God is talking about for the Christian, the saved man, the pathway to victory over the flesh, the world, the devil, is go straight at Jericho, and it's there where that wind of God is blowing, that God will give you victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil by the power of the Holy Ghost. You're never, and I'm never, going to have power over the flesh, the world, the devil, by my fleshly energy or wisdom or intellect. It's going to be by the power of the Spirit of God that overcomes all that junk in our hearts. Went down to Jericho. City of that. I'm telling you, listen, we need the oil poured in us. Now everybody said, boy, this sounds pretty interesting. I think I'll leave out Jerusalem, head down to Jericho. Now wait a minute. I'm not talking about you getting pharisaical and high-headed and spiritually superior and saying, bless God, I'm going to be somebody different. I'm going to associate. No, I'm not talking about becoming a Pharisee. I'm talking about an humble, broken, God-seeking person who loves everybody but wants God more than anything. Not talking about being some of these separated, a lot of them get separated, they just never get to God. Sanctification is not just being separated from the world, it's being separated unto God. True sanctification, all right? Now you say, well, Reggie, I'm still interested in heading down to Jericho. Well, let's see if you are. The Bible said he fell among thieves. You want more of God? You want the fullness of the Spirit? You say, man, I'm ready to leave Jerusalem. I want to head down to Jericho. Well, get ready for some thieves. There's some things God will allow to be taken from you. Did you know in the book of Job, all the stuff that Job had stolen from him was God used people to do it? The Sabaeans and all this other crowd. The devil himself didn't even come and do it. God just allowed the devil to influence the other people. I know the devil's behind it all. But God, listen to me, this is good news for you. Even the thieves, God's got control of them. Even the thieves God is using in your life. Amen. You see, He is a sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God. Amen? I mean, He's not up there worried about a thing this morning. He's not up there to, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? No, no, He's ahead of the thieves and the devil and everybody else, and He uses them to His own glory. Amen. And the thieves come down, they took some things. You know, God will use thieves to take away your pride. I heard, how many's ever been crooked in here? Can I tell you something? If I had the money that people have crooked out of me, I could move to the Bahamas and live luxurious the rest of my life. I'm not joking either. I'm serious as a 30-06 bullet. But you know what God showed me in this passage of Scripture? That God allowed the thieves. You've lost money. You've lost stuff. I listened to it. I listened to God verify this message in Sunday school class this morning. God, if you decide, boy, I want God. God says, you got some things you need to get rid of. You go, oh, I ain't getting rid of them on my own. Well, I'll send some thieves to get it then. And I could list a yard long a bunch of stuff that wouldn't be bad if it was stole from us. Number one of them being our pride. And God sent thieves down there. You know what Jesus said? He that loses his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. But he that saves his own life, gonna lose it. God says he'll send thieves along. Then, not only the thieves stole some things from, you know, by the way, I won't get off on that rabbit trail. They seized, but then they stripped him. Now, God, what's God gonna do with them thieves he sends your way? Well, like Brother Don Zinn said this morning, you know, when you've got to work from job to job and you ain't got 42 jobs out in front of you, you get pretty dependent on God. It strips you of yourself. What is it Americans like to say? Self-esteem. Bible does not teach you to have self-esteem. Bible tells you to crucify self. Now, the Bible teaches you to be confident and courageous in the Lord, but it never teaches you to have trust in the arm of the flesh. That's stupidity. That's the world's wisdom. So God has to strip that off. Did you know what else God may strip from you? That's some wrong doctrine. God may strip some bitterness from you. God may strip some friends from you. He may strip some religion from you. He may strip some friends from you and some family from you. Yes, sir. Hey, He may strip you of some fun. How many knows what a 5-string banjo is? To this day, I cannot play a church song on a banjo. John, I don't know what's wrong with me. But I think there's something to it that God had in it, because I've tried. I said, well, I'm going to learn this church song on a banjo. I can't do it. Now, give me an old hoedown. Oh, boy, giddy up, go. I can hear an old hoedown. I figured it out. The church song? He said, what will be with that? I don't know why Dolores ain't here. She's backslid this morning. Dolores, you hear that? I said, you're backslid. You're not church this morning. No, I love Dolores. Dolores' husband and some friends. Before I got saved and surrendered to preach, you know what I'd do on Friday and Saturday nights? I was at a bluegrass festival, sitting in somebody's house, 5-stringing it till 1 o'clock in the morning. Karen's sitting there going, been in the living room in there. Guys, don't do that to your wife. But anyway, I had fun. Did you know? I mean, I never, the slightest thing out. All I thought about was, yeah, I guess I'll go to church Sunday morning, but I'm going to find a comfortable place I can find and where I can sleep. That was my church life. Why? Because I had fun. You know what? You know what? I got saved. You know one of the first things God did to me? You ain't ready on Sunday morning if you out five stringing on Saturday night. And I'm going to tell you something. I've got a Baldwin old banjo with a brass ring and a crown top on it that I wouldn't trade most of your houses for. I bought it for $350 when I was in college, paid $5 a week on it till I paid it off and was able to haul it out. And couldn't even buy the case. I took the banjo, went back later and kept paying $5 a week on the case. Carried that banjo in the front of my pickup, slept in the seat of my truck going to bluegrass festivals. I loved every second of it. 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting down, 5 or 10 guys, black midnight, just hitting them licks. I mean, just I still love a banjo twings, and my brain goes. Amen. I love a banjo. You know what God said? It's over. Oh, I still pick it on a rare occasion, but I don't go to festivals. I don't play in any groups anymore. That's over. You know what God says? One of the dearest things to your heart, I'm going to strip from you. And you got to understand this. God's going to take some things away from you that are dear to your heart. You may like, it may not be anything particularly wrong with it. It's just God says, we're going to go. You want me? You want me? You want the power? There's some things must be taken out of your life. Then it was wounded. Oh my. God, I didn't know I was involved in this. Here now thieves, now I get stripped, and now I'm wounded. Did you know what the Bible said you'll get wounded at? In the house of your friends. Hey, think about it. It was church folk that came down there. Priest and Levite. Look at him. He's wounded. He got stolen, stripped, and left for dead. Ain't that a sight on earth? See ya. Pass by on the other side. And you know what? Some of you in this church house, you've been stripped, wounded, and everything else. Walked into this church and the preacher didn't even call you. Didn't say hi to do. By how, and you said he just walked on the other side and I was laying there half dead and dying. You better expect that, especially from somebody like me. Why, I'm so spiritual, I say, hey, you ought to get up from there, let's go. That's right, ain't it? Amen. Until I get wounded, I want Karen to come in and... Hey, you know what getting wounded will do for you? It'll help you to stop when somebody else is wounded. It'll teach you some compassion. Until I was wounded, I never knew what it felt like. I never knew what they were going through until I got wounded, until I needed help, until I was helpless, until I needed help from God. And God, if you're wounded, you tell you what wounded to do. I mean, tell you, listen, church folk will walk on by, the family will walk on by and be broken. And God did it to every saint with power. Let me tell you something. You say, Reggie, you're talking about wounded means he was broken. Now, what you get this, because the language is real specific there in that passage. It says, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. That's almost backwards, but God is teaching you how wounds are bound, how God binds up wounds. You see, how did he bind them up? He couldn't pour the oil in. He had to pour the oil in before they were actually bound up. But he wasn't going to bind them up. Watch this. Listen to me! He would not bind up the wounds until he poured the oil and the wine in. And we're wanting God to fix our wounded hearts and our wounded spirits without God pouring the Holy Ghost in. Are you listening? That's why all this religious junk is so popular across America, because it's the world's flesh formula of fixing our wounds without God. It's that flesh formula we're holding up for sale. And so, I'm just going to say this to you. Let me ask you a question. You've got to get wounded. You've got to get broken before the oil's poured in. Remember I told you before I started preaching? They ain't 1 in 100 wants it. Because you know what? Your spirit intuitively knows what's coming. Your spirit knows what's coming. You decide, I'm coming out for God, clear cut. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to quit fighting God on some issues. I'll tell you what, I'm going to let God have His way in my life. I'm going to start being obedient to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You know what's coming? You're going to have some wounds. I'm going to tell you what, you may have some family not like it. But nobody has ever had the Holy Ghost poured into them until God first allowed them to be broken and wounded. And then the Bible said they left Him. Now I want to ask you a question. Why was He such easy prey to the thieves? That's exactly right. He was alone. Can I tell you something? The road to the fullness of the Spirit of God is not a very heavily traveled road. You don't have to worry about having a lot of folks with you. I mean, if you like being on your own, buddy, try that one. Leave it alone. You see, here's what the deal is. Jerusalem, you're headed down to Jericho for the fullness of God. You leave them. Don't worry about it. They'll leave you. You start living for God, you'd be shocked. The people who claim they love you, that will leave you emotionally and spiritually. Are you hearing me? You go down to humility, brokenness. You have some things taken off of you. You get let God allow you to be stripped and then wounded and broken before the Lord and left for dead all alone. But let me tell you something about that point. That's when God will come. Seeking the fullness of God is a lonely business. You won't have much company. You'll be outside the camp, and there's loneliness in looking for God. That's why a lot of people don't want it. It's not just the leaving the crowd. It's not just the getting stuff taken from you out of your life. It's not just being stripped. It's not just being wounded. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folks would rather be wounded than be lonely. But let me tell you something. God works through loneliness. God works through it. And God knows He's got to do that work in your life. Get you where you're dependent and don't trust anybody but Him. I want you to notice the next thing that they did. Watch this. He is now wounded. And they, this priest and Levite, they come around and they remember they're the religious crowd? They shunned Him. Can I tell you something? Do you know why some of you women have not decided yet that you're going to dress like a woman? Because you would get shunned and you know it. You would get shunned from some of the deepest people that you love, and you know it. Yes, sir. You get full of the fullness of God. There's not a preacher in this nation that will have to preach some things to you. You will walk into your clothes closet. You will say, "Dear God, show me what's not pleasing to you, and I'll get it out of here today. And I'll not sell it at a yard sale for some other woman to wear." If some of you want the fullness of the Spirit, the reason you're not going to, Daddy, is because there's some things in your house that you know will have to go. And if it goes, you know some of your buddies are going to shun you. Did you know why a lot of preachers have fallen for leaving the authorized version? It's because it's in their denomination and they do not want to be shunned at the conference. You don't still use the old King James Bible, do you? You cannot believe how people are afraid of being shunned. They're not just afraid of being lonely, but they're afraid of being shunned by other Christian people. They're afraid that other people will walk around them and kind of give them the cold. Did you know that some of you in this church house are so afraid of the fear of man and so afraid of being shunned, you wouldn't even carry a tract with you to give to somebody out in public for fear of being shunned? I'm talking about being full of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about letting God head you down to Jericho from Jerusalem and get you to where He can really pour it in on you, because God does not pour it in to unbroken people, to people that have not been shunned. God wants to know this. God wants to know this. Is He enough for you? If nobody else in this world loves you, is Jesus Christ enough? That's what God wants to know. We're not talking about normal Sunday morning stuff here, folks. We're talking about plowing deep ground right now. Being shunned. There's some places. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost, said, "You can't go there no more." There's some activities. God said, "You don't go there no more." I didn't need a preacher to get up and tell me that stuff. The Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and said, "This does not please the Lord." When you're full of the Holy Ghost, life gets so free, it's like you're floating in the air, man. I mean, it's not rules anymore. It's, "God, what do I need to do to please You?" Woo! Freedom! It ain't no longer. What if Dad saw it? What if Mom knows about it? What if the preacher's over there? Was he the folks at church over there? You ain't worried about who's around. Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost liberates you. It frees you. But if you're going to do it, you get ready to be shunned. You get ready to be shunned by the people that you thought would stick with you. I never will forget a man that I thought was stuck with me through thick and thin. I never will forget, and I started preaching. I'm going to get into something just a little bit here, but I just hang loose. Now, here we go. After he's left Jerusalem, after he's left the city, the crowd of the saved people, he's going down, he's headed towards Jericho, wanting the fullness of God, the fragrance of God. Now, let me say something this morning. Being full of the Spirit of God does not mean you go around like this and trying to be smiley and nice to everybody all the time. Stephen, being filled with the Holy Ghost, priest, and said, you stiff-necked generation, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, said, you vipers, you serpents, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Oh, we've got a definition of being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to walk around and then we don't want to have any problems with people and we don't want to have any controversy and we just don't. I'm going to tell you something. That is the farthest thing in the world. I'm not saying you got to be mean, but I'm going to tell you something. You read your Bible. Peter, filled one day. He was, no, I don't know Jesus Christ. Cuss, I don't know him. But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost of God on the day of Pentecost, he stood up before the thousands of Jews and unashamedly preached Jesus Christ. Amen. Difference of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You listen to me. It'll put courage in you that you never even dreamed that you could ever have. Headed down to Jericho, wounded, stripped, stolen from. He's alone, he's shunned. But oh, bless God! He's ready for a visitor. He's now ready for a visitor. And this good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes by. A special visit from a special person with a special gift. I want to ask y'all a question in here. How many of you are saved in here? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you in here say, Reggie, you know, I don't say this with pride, but just in all honesty, I can tell when somebody's preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost or not. Would you raise your hand? See, you don't have to have a lot of discernment about that. Did you know the Holy Ghost will bear witness with your spirit whether somebody's got God in them and on them or not? Whether they've had the Holy Ghost poured in them, whether the power of God is upon them. Let me tell you something, folks, that's what's missing in our pulpits. I'm just getting so grieved. I tell you, oh God, raise up some men out of this church full of the Holy Ghost of God with the unction and the power. That's the only thing that will save this nation. It's the only thing. You can elect a Republican, a conservative, every one of us. They're not going to save this nation. Men preaching the Word of God in the pulpits of America, filled with the Holy Ghost. Fathers that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Mamas that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Young people filled with the Holy Ghost. Unashamed of Jesus Christ. They want to save this nation. He's ready for a visit. Brother, I'll tell you, the Bible teaches that Samaritan came where he was. And he saw him and he had compassion. Brother, I'm glad to say no one cared for me like Jesus. And he went to him. And the Bible said, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil. Boy, I want to tell you something, that pouring in oil. Any good old doctor knows you just don't sew a wound up. You cleanse that wound. Amen. And you know what some of you need this morning? You let me say, Reggie, how important is this? Some of you are hurting. You're hurting deep. Are you listening to me? Some of you are wounded and you're wounded deep. You've got pain from 5, 10, 30, 40, and 50 years ago. And you've tried the world's way of trying to sew it all up, but you know what was left in there? Infection and dirt and stuff was left in there that never was flushed out by the Holy Ghost. The reason we got so many bitter Christians and unhappy Christians, and that's another thing really bugging the daylights out of me. Hey, I think what a weep with him to weep and rejoice with him to rejoice. But where in the world is the joy and gladness? Where's the wine that was poured in on the Christians of this country? Why isn't there more happiness and joy and gladness and enthusiasm in the children of God in America? I can tell you why. Because they're trying to bind up their wounds without the power of the Holy Ghost and the wine of God. You've never been healed. And you've got a festering thing inside you. And you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You know what's tough is having an old wound lanced. Man, you talk about getting tough. Let me tell you, when revival will come to a church and to a person is when they let the Holy Ghost lance them old wounds and get that old stuff out of there and pour in the Holy Ghost and pour in the wine. And I'll tell you something, God will pour something in you to give you joy and gladness. He came to where He was and He's ready now to have the oil poured in Him. And more, not just oil, but wine. Amen. Wine's a type of the Holy Ghost in joy and gladness and enthusiasm of life, the abundant life of God. Wounds will not be bound up by God. Listen to me. Until oil has been poured in, I ask you today, do you want the filling of the Holy Ghost of God? Are you willing to leave Jericho, leave Jerusalem, head to Jericho? Willing for God to take a lot of things out of your life and strip some things off and take some things out of your life? You willing to be wounded and bruised and broken before God so God can pour in the Holy Ghost of God? Can I say to you that some of the things that's happening to you right now in your life is happening to you because God is trying to break you and wound you and prepare you for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Now He's not traveling in His own power because the Good Samaritan put Him on his beast. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't traveling in the power of your own flesh no more. It ain't such a trudge up the hill anymore, amen? You're riding that mule. God put Him on His own beast, carried Him, and then He took Him to an inn, amen? Let me tell you something, filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I say something to you? You get filled with the Holy Ghost, God will put you in an inn. And you'll be in. Amen. Hey, man, I tell you, God don't play words. God don't play games with words. He put I-N-N, He took Him to an inn, that's the type of the church. And the same words, the word we put in. And brother, when God puts you in, you're in. Do you know why a lot of folks ain't in? Because the Holy Ghost didn't put them there to start with. Woo! I'm telling you, listen to me. Hey, do you know how I stuck around this place for 29 years? The Holy Ghost put me in. Amen. You better get a hold of it. Filled with the Holy Ghost will answer 99.9% of all your problems. Took Him to the inn, full of power and authority. Said, you take care of Him. I'll pay all the cost. Woo! Got filled with the Holy Ghost. I ain't riding on my own power. I'm not working under my own authority. I get up here to preach. I ain't preaching, Reggie said. I'm preaching, thus saith the Lord. I don't care if you like it or not, amen. It's what God's book says. Power and authority. Hey, I know what it's like. You say, well, Reggie, I know you're pretty sorry. I can't imagine you being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, you just got a bad conception of it. I am, whether you understand it or not. Amen. I'll tell you what, somebody said, man, you turn into a different animal when you're behind the pulpit. I guess I do, but that's all right. I'm telling you, I know the difference between preaching without the fullness of the Holy Ghost and preaching in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And I would not preach. I'm telling you, believe me, I lie not. If I couldn't have the power of God on me to preach, I would not preach. I wouldn't do it. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how to do it. I mean, it would literally drain the living life right out of me in about two sermons. Taken care of, amen. God will take care of you if you get filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll provide for you. You'll be looking for Him to come again. You say, man, I'm not sure I want Him to come this afternoon. You can feel the Holy Ghost, you'll be looking for Him this afternoon. Now I'm going to get personal about this, and I'll tell you what. Y'all with me, ain't you? Y'all understand how this is precious to me. Y'all understand how when I got a hold of this, I like went loop-a-loop. I mean, I like to did a backflip when I saw what was in the Word of God. I mean, there's the same story, two layers, one salvation, you have a sanctification. I'm going to get personal. About 18 years old, God called me to preach. First person I ever told was Dr. Cunningham down at camp one night. Just went down to visit, you know. I sat around there, and everybody went to bed for a sitting there, and boy, I mean, you know, God's just doing it. I said, Oscar, I believe God's called me to preach. You know what He said to me? He said, you just hang tight. He said, let your calling and election be made, be sure of your election, your calling. Didn't say much. But I knew. And next 10 years, Got married, got in business, got married, started having children, 28 years old. God still called me to preach. Never will forget one time, I was in the house, Bill Prairie House down, and that's always be a precious place to me, man. That holler will always be a precious place to me. And I was one night, I told Karen, I went in there, and I don't know if she remembers this or not, but I went in there and I said, Karen, I got to tell you something. I said, God's called me to preach. And I think she was, you know, just like, well, kind of reminds me of one old boy. He said he woke up one night and he said that he's praying and God been dealing with him to preach. And so he said he got on his knees beside his bed. And he said, I began to pray. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, I gave it all to God that night. And he said, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I jumped up and my wife was sitting. He said, honey, said she jumped out of my bed. Said, what? He said, God just filled me with the Holy Spirit and told me to preach. He said, well, get at it, I guess. He said to her, he said, well, just for your information, I didn't wake you up to inform you, to ask your permission. I woke you up to tell you. He said, I didn't like the way she responded. He got his first test of being filled with the Spirit. Amen. I was 28 years old on a Sunday night. I walked into the church house not with the slightest idea of letting God do nothing in my life. But I'm glad for some women. Now, you ladies, listen to me. Don't ever underestimate the power of your prayers. I had a revival going on, started on Sunday night. Some women had been praying, meeting at noon. I knew that because my wife had been meeting with them. And I walked in that night, and old Nathan's 2 years old, about sitting on my lap. About halfway through that message, the power of God came upon me with great fear. And God said to me, he said, I've been messing with you 10 years and I've been good to you. But I've called you to preach. And you're in rebellion. And God is my witness. You can say what you want to, but it's like God said, Reggie, I'm done tonight. Either you obey me tonight or it's over with for you. I don't know all what that means. But I know I went up forward that night to the altar and I told God, hey, you know what? It's good for you to have some kids. It'll change your attitude about some things. It'll get you a little more sober about life. And I never will forget. I sooner to preach, and I never will forget because I had a problem about it. And this is what it was. I remember being there on my knees praying to God, and it started coming at me in waves. And this is what it was. I had observed preachers over the years, and I'm not knocking preachers, but I'm going to tell you something. Most of my experience was that preachers were pretty scared to preach what they knew they ought to preach. And I'd watch preachers go around issues in churches, and they wouldn't preach on people's sin. They wouldn't preach on my sin. They wouldn't preach on anybody's sin. And I generally had an attitude that preachers were cowards and afraid. And there was something in me, I can't do this, God. I cannot. I will not. I can't kill. And I remember telling God, kill me now. Or you do something in me to take the fear of man out of me. And I'm telling you, on that night, my body was trembling. The Holy Ghost of God came up on me in a way and in me in a way that I've never gotten over with since. And God changed me from the inside out. Whereas I was all the time concerned about everybody thought about me, wanting everybody to like me and doing whatever I had to do to make everybody like me. All I wanted to do is please God. I didn't care if they don't like me. I'm loving God. They just have not liked me. I wasn't mad at nobody, but I just wanted God. And I'll tell you something. I was broken before God, and I never will forget. Oscar said to me that week, he said, why don't you get ready to preach Sunday? You just will get started. Oh, mercy. It come a big ice. It come a big rain. It did one of these Ozark wonders. It come a big rain, then it come a big ice, and it come a big snow on top of all that junk. Our basement was full of water about that deep. I never will forget. Karen said she knew I'd gotten saved because I didn't holler and get mad and scream and run all over the house mad. I have sense, but not that night. And I can remember just as plain as day, the first Sunday I walked behind the pulpit. And my family sitting out there, nobody hardly at church but Oscar and my family. And I remember hanging my head and I crying and I couldn't even look up at the faces of my own family. You say, Reggie, what was God doing? God was breaking me. God was breaking me. God was getting ready to pour his oil in me. But I remember this. I knew, I said, God, I don't know all about it, but I know I need power. I want your power, God, I want your power. And I began to pray for power. I'd read in Ephesians 3:29, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I read in Acts chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after the Spirit of God has come upon you. I read in Matthew chapter 8, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Lo, I'm with you always. And I read about Elijah and the power of God with Elijah. And I read about John the Baptist. And I read about Jesus. And I'd read about the anointing. And I'd read about the unction. And I'd say, God, I've got to have something, Lord. You know what I told God? I never will forget. I told God, God, I don't want to be a normal preacher if normal is fearful. God, I don't want to pastor a normal church. God, I don't want to live a normal life. I want to live a life with the power of God upon me. And I remember praying, God, do something in me. And I began to seek God like old boy did, left Jerusalem, went down to Jericho. Down there in that old Bill Pray holler. I remember there's some rocks I could take you today, old hard rocks stick up out of the ground I could take you to, where I knelt and I begged God and cried and pled with God for power. And I wrestled with the Lord and said, God, I can't do it without you, God. I need your power. We're talking about saving men's souls. We're talking about leading men to repentance. We're talking about preaching the eternal counsels of God. We're talking about the determination of where people spend eternity. God, this isn't no human business. This is supernatural business. And I remember praying. Then I would try to get around men who were on fire for God and fearless before the Lord and doing something for God and had a vision for the Lord. I never will forget one day I had a little old red truck, a little red Chevrolet Love truck. And Oscar Cunningham, I saw him somewhere, and he said, Reggie, you might want to listen to this sometime. And he had a little old cassette tape. I got headed down the road, and I thought, well, I'll plug that in. I plugged it in, his old brother Ronnie Simpson. And he's preaching on devils, who's running your life. I'll tell you, he preached the speakers out of my truck. And I remember sitting there saying, there it is, right there is what I need. Right there is there's power. I could tell in his spirit he wasn't afraid of nobody. I could tell he knew the Word of God and he was preaching. And I'll tell you what I did. I found out he was going to be in Myrtle, Mississippi. And I went down there to Myrtle, Mississippi. And I sat there for 3 days waiting on Ronnie Simpson to preach. And he got up to preach and he preached David's Mighty Men. That place went into what they call white cap. And they started shouting on one end and it rolled across that auditorium and got to where about 15 minutes later you couldn't even, he was trying to preach. You could not hear him preach. You could not hear him preach for people shouting the glory of God. I'm talking people up everywhere. People just waving their hands and shouting and praising God. People getting saved. People getting right. You never been anything like in your life. And I go, whoop-de-doo, I found her! And I begin to ask God for power. And God began to answer prayer. I'm saying this to you. Listen, the stupidest thing you say, Reggie, what are you talking about? God didn't. I'll tell you something God didn't. Now, don't get mad at me. Hang on your seat here. You listening to me? God said, all right, we're going to do some things. You want power? Here it is. Here's the deal. He said, does God make deals with you? I think God puts conditions on. Know that, I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is a free gift. Power, you're going to cost you something. Here's what God said. He said, you don't join nobody. Amen. You don't join no groups. You're not going to be part of any group. I said, but Lord, I'd kind of like to have some preacher friends and some fellowship and so forth. Said, I'll be enough for you. And it's just like God said, you join them and you see what happens to your power. Now that is not saying that's for anybody else. I'm saying that was for me. Because there are preachers in groups that have power. I'm saying that was for me. God said, you stay without the camp. You come unto me. I saved you. I called you. You weren't in one when I saved you. You weren't in one when I called you. You stay out of one. I'm going to do something different with you. I never will forget, I went up to Jerry Falwell, and you can cuss him, do all you want to, but Jerry Falwell did a great work for this country. But I'll say this, I don't agree with everything about Jerry Falwell, but I'm going to say this. I went to a super conference he had up there, and one of the reasons I went, because he had B.R. Lakin preaching. B.R. Lakin was a preacher. He was an old school kind of preacher. And I never will forget this, there were probably 5,000 people sitting in that place. You could not get a seat in that place. I mean, the balconies was full, the seats was full. I was sitting about, I don't know, it looked like a half mile back there somewhere. Underneath the balcony, I'm telling you, it looked like a half mile up there at the pulpit. He preached about 15 minutes, and all of a sudden he said, I'm going to stop preaching. He said, God told me to do something. He said, God told me there's a young man in this church house who needs the power of God. He said, I ain't never done this, and he's an old man, trembled when he walked. He said, I'm going to walk around to the front of this pulpit, and he said, whoever you are, he said, you need to come out of your seat. And he said, God, and I have never to this day been ordained by any group or church. Now listen to me. I've never had hands laid on me by the presbytery, never been licensed by anybody. But I'll tell you, that was my night. Because God, as quick as he said that, God told me, he said, this is for you. And I shook my soul and I said, I threw it off. Listen, you're not talking about anybody, folks. You're talking about a man. I'm talking about God used. I'm talking about a man with power on him. And he said, I want to lay hands on you and pray for you that God will endue you with power and use you. And he just did like this here. And he walked down around the front of that great big old Thomas Road Baptist Church. And he just stood there. And I sat back there. And I wrestled with God. And I kept waiting for that other guy, wherever he was, to get up and go. And that other guy never did get up. And finally, I knew in my soul, Reggie, this is you. And I stepped out of that seat and I come down that aisle. And I never forget in my life, old B.R., he didn't know me from Adam's house cat. He took his hands laid on my head. And this is, he prayed about a 30-second prayer. He said, oh, dear God, would you give power to this man to preach the word of God? Would you use him mightily, Lord, beyond what he could ever imagine? Do it for Jesus' glory. Give him power to preach with. Amen. And I walked back to my seat. You say, did lightning strike? No. Did the thunder roll? No, it didn't. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe in my soul. I know in my heart, God, that was part of that process of pouring the oil in. One day out here, we had some old prayer deals one day, and we was a building around here. And, oh, Oscar Cunningham drove by, and Oscar had been a precious friend. I never will forget to come out there. I said, Oscar, you know, I just need prayer. And Oscar said, you know, Reggie, you've never been ordained by anybody, have you? No, I ain't. He said, I'm just not trying to be smart, but he said, I just feel like God wants me to lay my hands and pray that he'll use you. And Oscar laid his hands on. We knelt together in prayer, and Oscar took his hand, laid it on my head, and said, dear God, would you empower this man to preach the word of God, empower him to do the work of the ministry? And I'm going to tell you something today. I have never in my life, I'm saying, you know what the problem is? Young preachers are wanting denominational power, but not God's power. They want power in their group, and they're missing it. They're wanting political power. They're wanting monetary power. And they have intellectual power. They like to be called doctor and this, that, and the other. I want to tell you something. There is no power in a name tag. I was so amazed a while back. I get some of these craziest calls. Y'all remember I said something about Martin Luther King and never preached the gospel. I never heard him preach the gospel in my life. Got a call from a black man up in Ohio here a while back. Boy, he mattered in three hops. And I said, I want to tell you something. First of all, you're not talking to a coward. So you get ready. I said, I'm sticking right by what I preach. I said, besides that, if I'd have said that about a white man, you wouldn't even be calling me. Ain't that right? But I said, you're a racist and you know it. That's the only reason you're calling me, because I said it about a black preacher. And ain't that the truth? You ought to be around some of the calls I get. I'm really filled with the Spirit at that moment. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, that's what's the matter. Everybody's afraid to say anything. Martin Luther King, as far as I know, FBI records, he's a whoremonger. Yes, sir. Check her out. Might not be true, but that's the FBI records on him. You say, what are you talking about? Got a call from the, and I ain't got nothing against Mennonites. I ain't got nothing against nobody. I ain't got nothing against the Amish. I ain't got nothing against the Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, whatever else. Got a letter from a Mennonite guy here a while back. He said, you claim to be an old time preacher. He said, you need to go back and find out about the Mennonite church and find out about old time. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't even write the guy back. Wasn't even worth writing. You know what? Hey, this Bible was rolling before the Minnow, what's his name, ever got. Hey, I'm preaching so far back it goes to Genesis of creation. I mean, I'm an old time preacher. My lineage goes way back beyond the star of the Mennonite church, way back beyond the star of the Amish church, way back beyond the Pentecostal church, way back beyond the Baptist church, way back. Listen, why? This is junk, 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 and it's stupid. Let me tell you something going on. I cannot believe the stupidity I'm dealing with right now. Talked to a guy here all back. He believes it. He don't believe there's going to be no thousand-year reign. He thinks that's all allegorical language. Do you know what the problem is? I found out. Either they don't believe Genesis or they don't believe Revelation. One or the other. I mean, if I was a devil, I just, he don't believe the book. Got him. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you about power. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost power. You believe this book when it makes you look like the idiot, biggest idiot in the world. You love this book when it points out your sin. You love this book when you don't understand all you're reading. You'll trust it, believe it, even when it looks like it's contradicting itself. There'll be something inside you says, don't worry about it, buddy. The contradiction ain't there. It's here. Amen. I'm talking this morning. Listen, we need the power of God. We don't need the denominational power, the monetary power, the political power. And I'm going to say something to you this morning, and I'm going to bless His holy name. I tell you what, I want to say this in case I wasn't back tonight. God has heard and answered my prayer. I bowed in two or three places, some of them little pits I was telling you about. And I got on my face and I said, God, I know I live in Norwood. I know it ain't on most maps. But God, You can do something in Norwood, Lord. You can do something. Lord, I don't want to go through this thing just kind of flip like a dead fish in the water. God, You're God. Do something. And I'm going to tell you something. To His name and His glory, God answering prayer. He did do beyond, exceeding abundantly above all that I asked or thought. Amen. Hey, we're reaching into dozens and dozens of nations right now. We're going into every state in this union. I mean, it's beyond my imagination what God is doing. I'm telling you, listen, we need the power of the Holy Ghost poured in. But we're going to have to get to Jericho. We're going to have to get stripped. We're going to have to get wounded. We're going to have to get rid of some junk. And we're going to have to hunger for God's blessing. Are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I wonder what God would do in America if we had 1,000 preachers that hungered and filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I wonder what God would do. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I give God the glory. He has answered my prayer. I'll tell you what, down. I'm going to tell you something. You may be alone. I'll tell you what, I never will forget. Preachers that I had a lot of trust in. I started preaching. I didn't have no better sense than to preach on Catholicism. I didn't have no better sense than to preach on cults and everything. I mean, I'm just like an old preacher said. He said, if I can't find a new sin, I'll bring one up. Amen. I'm going to preach. I tell you, God's holy. Sin will take you to hell. You ought to preach on it. And I tell you what makes me, if I read my Bible right, Jesus is awful kind to just old lost sinners. Oh, when it comes to that religious crowd leading everybody to hell, I'll tell you what, now he'd get them. That's who he said, you vipers, you serpents. He said, you compass land and sea to make a proselyte, and said you make a more twofold more child of hell than you are yourself. He said, you are going to hell. Preachers come up to me. I mean, I just popped up. You know, I don't know nothing. They know I don't know nothing. I'm Reggie. You're going to have to quit attacking everybody. That's not the gospel. God didn't call us to attack everybody. I didn't know it was. Well, that's the way it's come across. I had a man who used to be my pastor told me that. Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you something else. When the fat got hot, I mean when it's in the fire, it's hard to find some old preacher that'd call you up or say how to do. See, that's why I don't feel sorry for you. I mean, did you know, I want to tell you something. Did you know, I want to tell you there's one man, one preacher, and that's why I love him to death. I'm going to call him this afternoon and just tell him I love him. One man called me, one preacher called me when I was in the hottest part of my ministry. That's Brother Boyd Hofford. He's my cousin. Boyd called me up and said, Red, you stand and you don't back up. He said, I've listened to some of your messages. He said, it ain't what they're telling about you. He said, they're distorting what you're preaching. He said, the trouble with them is, he said, they don't love them enough. He said, they're scared to death to say it. And he said, what makes them mad is you're saying it and they know they're too scared to. And I'll tell you something else. God bless that. And God bless Boyd. But I will tell you, for 25, 27 years, I went to Boyd's camp and preached up there. I never missed a year. And I tell you, a lot of years I didn't want to go, but I'm going to tell you, this church has been blessed by me going up that camp meeting over and over again. Some of the greatest things that ever happened in this church was a result of something that God ministered to my life with through some of the men. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Horner I met there, Brother Larry Brown I met there. God blessed this church through that ministry. And one of the reasons God blessed this is because God blessed him for blessing me when I was going through the fire and going through the trial. Let me tell you something. God came to me. He poured in the oil. God has given me grace to endure, grace to forgive, grace to get back up when I've sinned, and grace when I've failed. And God let me know that His word is true. I'm going to tell you something. I don't recommend it to nobody. Don't recommend it to nobody. But I'll tell you one thing God will show you. When you do what you thought you'd never do, when you sin like you thought you'd never sin, and you understand what it means to need mercy and grace after you've already been saved, after you've already thought you were filled with the Spirit of God, brother, I'll tell you what, you'll start finding out what mercy and grace is about. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. God can teach you a few things. God can be, and I'm going to tell you something. We need to preach in this church again, that cycle of Christian growth. God never gets done taking you around and around, breaking you and breaking you and breaking you. But He's going to expand the influence of your life. God poured in the wine. Now, I will say this. We'll get out of here in just a little bit. God not only filled me with the Holy Ghost, but I'll tell you what He did. He put some gladness in my soul. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, the thing I fear the worst is not being able to go. I'm going to tell you something. Listen. He poured in oil and poured in wine. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't with this crowd that claims to be full of the Holy Ghost. Look at you like they're mad and just ate a sour pickle. I ain't buying into that. I'm going to tell you what, when God saved me, He made me glad, and He filled me with the Holy Ghost and got happy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I like to be happy. You know one of the reasons? I'm just so mean and ornery. One of the reasons I like to be happy because it seems to make other folks irritated. It really does. I mean, he's always happy. One guy walked in me and said, "Oh, you're always full of life, H. Kelly." I said, "Yeah, I am. I kind of like it. It's pretty good. I got saved. It's full of life. Jesus lives in me. Amen." I mean, I want to tell you something, folks. Listen, one of the great blessings is this. Listen, I've been through a lot of things. You've been through a lot of things. Hey, life's rough. Life's tough. But I tell you what, you can have a smile and some joy and some gladness. You may weep, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Woo! I'm talking about pouring in the wine. I'm talking about pouring in when you're happy, you're smiling, you've got joy and enthusiasm in your life. You're on fire for God. Amen. I'm talking about the real deal. I know there ain't nobody interested, but just in case you are, I'm preaching this message. God's been carrying me on His mule all these years. Amen. How many members of the message, the mule is not your enemy? Does anybody remember that message? The mule is not your enemy. No, that mule ain't your enemy. God's carrying you on that old mule, amen. He's trying to give you direction. And then He brought me to an inn. He brought me to Liberty Faith Church and set me down in here and paid for it all, amen. Can I tell you something, Brother Don? I want to give you a verse. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. God is going to take care of you. He just wants to be real close to Don's inn. He bit and He paid for it all. And He took care of me. He's blessed me up one side and down the other. There are days. We're singing that song, "How Great Thou Art." Remember that second verse, "When through the woods I wander"? That's me. I love to go through the woods. Amen. There's so much in there. I'll tell you what, you can get close to God in the woods. Somebody says, "The only thing that gets close to me is ticks." I'll get full of the Holy Ghost and them ticks won't bite you. Amen. It's tick repellent. God, what I'm saying is, I had literally get on my face every week and say, "God, you've been so good to me." I love that song Bridget sings. The Lord has blessed me in so many ways. And do you know what I am? I'm a looking for Him. And I'm a loving. What about you? Are you content to live in Jerusalem? You say, "Oh, I enjoyed this message, but I think I'll just stick around Jerusalem." You're saved. You're not going to hell. But I'd ask, is there anybody in this church that wants to go to Jericho? You want where the fragrance of God, the power of God is. And I hope this morning the unction, the fullness of the Spirit, I hope this morning that I have not sounded prideful. It is not. For God knows whatever I am, it is by the grace of God. I pray that you don't take it that way. Because I'm telling you folks, I got what I deserved both before I saved and after I saved. I'd be in the bowels of hell if I got what I deserved. You want that oil poured in? You're going to have to leave Jerusalem, head toward Jericho, expect to be alone, expect it'll be down with a lot of things taken from you, wounded, stripped, and left, and shunned. But then's when God will come. Doesn't happen, at least didn't happen to me, just instantaneously. I never did feel a zap. I just, all of a sudden, one day, got up to preach, and I knew God was on me. I mean, I felt the Holy Ghost. It's just like somebody plugged a 220 in, amen? And I've been running on I'd been running on a little old wore out AC/DC battery that was coming on and off, you know. But when God the Holy Ghost comes on you, hey, there's more than enough power to do what God has called you to do. And I'm talking about, listen, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be the daddy you ought to be. Amen. God will come. Would to God that we had men and boys, women and girls who hungered for more God and the fullness of the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads together today. I'm going to challenge you today. Now listen to me really, really close. Listen to me carefully. Do not be fooled into thinking that hollering means a person's filled with the Spirit of God. Your kids know better than that. Do not think that speaking in some tongue is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. If you really want to know, read Ephesians chapter 5. The fullness of God comes, you'll be grateful in everything, you'll give thanks. You'll have a song in your heart. Husbands will love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives will be in submission to their husbands. Children will be obedient to their parents. Workers will work as unto the Lord and not unto their boss. You see, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to equip you to live in life's daily situations. And then, if God calls you into the ministry, I personally believe that there is an equipping and empowering and unction of the Holy Spirit that prepares and equips for that. But what I'm asking you is this today. If you're interested, and lightning didn't strike me, it might you. But I'm telling you this, would you listen to this verse very carefully? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? My experience was this, and yours may not be the same, but from the time that I began to ask God for power down there in that old holler where Van lives, to the time when I really sensed the power of God upon me, it took some time. It took some serious praying, some serious seeking of the Lord. It wasn't just a simple little one-time deal. And I'm asking you this, and I'm telling you this, that God teaches that we need fresh oil. That we're to be continuously being filled with the Spirit of God. But you know, folks, I want that for you and I want that for me. And if that's what you want today and you say, Reggie, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm glad to be in Jerusalem, the city of peace with God. But I want God. I just want more of God. I want more of God. And I recognize that if I head down the road to Jericho, might be kind of a lonely road. I might get shunned. Might be some wounding. But whatever it takes for God to pour it in, I'm willing for that. Now listen, be very careful what you do here this morning, would you? But if you say, oh, God in my soul, I want more of God in my life. Why don't you just kind of slip out where you're at and step out. Come and ask Him. Just ask Him. God, I want power in my life. I want power over anger. I want power over jealousy. I want power over bitterness. I want power over unforgiveness. I want power over the flesh. I want power over hatred. I want power over covetousness. I want power over rebellion. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Would you come? Lord, fill me. Just in simple childlike faith, Lord, fill me. Fill me. The fullness of the Spirit of God. Would you come? I never read in the Bible where God says this, He's a respecter of persons. But to get filled, you're going to have to get emptied of some things. And you know that. I just want God to do a sweet, quiet work in this building today. I want God's power.
I want power to live right. I want power to do right. I'm tired. Aren't you tired of just feeling like you have to do right? Wouldn't you want the power of God to want to do right? God's so good to us, saved us, loved us, gave His Son for our sins on that cross, raised Him the third day, and by faith in Him saves us. Boy, listen this morning. You're never going to get too close to God. Fullness of God to give everything you are and everything you have and everything you hope to be to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Fullness of God. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with Your Spirit. Not satisfied, just not going to hell. Oh, I want God on me. I want God on me. Now, I'm going to say something further. I believe that the filling of the Holy Ghost comes in connection with a deep saturation of the Word of God into the heart and mind and soul. I believe that. Anyone else need to come this morning? Oh, dear God. Listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He'll take care of you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Simple childlike faith. Father, fill me with Your Spirit. Oh, God, fill me with Your Spirit. The enabler of the Christian life. The empowerer to serve God and to see the power of God at work.